There are two kinds of love that you ought to know. There are two kinds of love. There are two kinds of love.
Who are they?
They're like the neighborhood's jukebox. You know those guys just singing all the time.
Pick up that favorite rolled up $20 bill, everybody. It's time for Baby Oil and Blow. With you, as always, big time Matt O. And this gentleman here, the Jim to my Mac Jeffers. I'm talking about Nate Adams.
Ahoy, hoy.
What's new with your dog?
Oh, that's really nice. You'd call me Jim to your Mac Jeffers. It implies that our relationship is more of a brotherhood than anything else.
Yeah.
Unless those guys are like father and son. I guess I didn't bing that ever. Ooh. Like, you'd assume wrestling brothers is a big thing, but
yeah,
one of them's noticeably older than the other one.
Well, you get into Guerreros, and it's cousins, uncles, lovers, and everybody in between.
True. They're a famous wrestling family, though. Are the Jeffers a famous wrestling family? Is there like a Big Daddy Jeffers?
Mac and Jim, and then I think Todd did some time with the WWF.
Later, as we watch them do more and more work here on this World Championship Wrestling show, maybe devote an episode to the Jeffers, their history, do a deep dive into it, dig into it.
They're a good team, strong team.
Not so sure.
No, either way.
So, yeah. We're going to be talking World Championship Wrestling, theoretically.
Oh boy.
Theoretically, we did both watch this television show after attending a 24-hour horror movie marathon in which we did not sleep.
No.
Watched 8 or 9 horror movies.
I worked today. I feel like hell.
Drank a lot.
Oh, yeah.
See, today I kind of did a little recovery. I slept all day, and then I got up and, I mowed my grass. It was nice.
It's Columbus Day. I was making that holiday money, son.
Did a little yoga.
Holiday money.
Oh, we're calling it Indigenous Peoples Day now. We're not allowed to talk about Columbus on account of what a terrible person he was. He killed all those people, and he didn't even really discover the continent anyways, apparently.
I don't know.
These are the rumors. These are the new rumors.
People, slow down here for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Before you go picking up your bings to find out what's going on in history, just understand that, like, pretty much everybody from back then was an asshole.
That's true.
I mean, as soon as you can accept that,
murder was the name of the game.
Yeah.
And I think really what we're doing when we're celebrating Columbus Day is we're celebrating the spirit of Columbus and his bravery.
Sure.
His willingness to ask rich people to buy him boats.
Yeah.
Like, there's not everybody in the world just be like, hey, rich people, buy me some boats.
No, this guy put together a presentation.
Real go-getter.
And he was like, yo, you got money, how about a boat?
And like in Spanish, they were like, we've looked at your PowerPoint, Columbus.
Posible.
The numbers seem to add up. We like spices. Back then, everybody was just so concerned about spices.
Spices?
Like, gotta get my hand on those spices.
Well, hopefully some gold, too. But you're sure about the spices?
That's what we should be doing on Columbus Day. Everybody should be eating spicy food. Like,
oh, man.
It should be the big tradition. Like, mom's cooking up a big spicy dinner.
You know, a little bit of Thai, some Mexican.
You got your Columbus Day little brow dabber there? You got your handkerchief, your Columbus Day handkerchief to
all that spice.
Dab all that flop sweat off your
spice. What did we decide? Did we say
spicy Columbus Day meatballs?
Davy R. Scheister.
Oh yeah, you're
that's
little,
what we decided.
Your little yuppie brother, Davy R. Scheister. Is he a big fan? Is he a heat seeker out there? Is he looking for that spicy food?
No, if we were doing the spicy food, he'd have to take the day after Columbus Day off.
Strange that an affluent white man eats bland food. I've never heard of that before.
It's the gastrointestinal, you see.
It's understandable.
That's a different show altogether.
We don't really want to get into any scat humor here today. Yeah. I don't think, not on a holiday. Not on a holiday.
Nope.
Let's maybe get right into this world championship.
There's a lot to get into.
There is. We're talking November 16th, 1985 is the air date for
Gatherings this a-coming.
World Championship Wrestling episode. I think we got one more episode in between us and the gathering. That's looming large. We've got all those big same feuds building that we have the last couple weeks. You know.
Yeah.
The grudge is boiling and
it's
boiling.
Getting there, yeah.
Every week there's more grudge, more grudge. Are we even going to make it to Starrcade? I've been wondering a time or two.
I don't know.
Are we even going to make it to Starrcade, man?
Probably not. I don't think it's going to last.
Probably. I think all this stuff was probably all filmed in the same like 2-day period, you know?
Oh, yeah, probably.
I mean, these guys have been running on the same grudge for a while.
Yeah.
A little peek behind the curtain there. There's a lot of movie magic going on back here in 1980s pro wrestling. Let's do some quick results. Running through all the many, many matches that they pile into these goddamn shows. First off, your man, the Boogie Woogie Man.
The Boogie
you
Woogie
love him,
Man.
Jimmy Valiant, he took on Tony Zane.
Mm-hmm.
He wins after doing a little running elbow and then giving him a big pin.
Crowd loves him.
Everybody loves him. Old ladies, the little girls.
Yelling cocaine gibberish, you know. Mm. He even got a quick word in with the announce table that I tried like a million different times to figure out what he said. No idea.
Oh, yeah.
No idea. It was inaudible gibberish.
Scatting around, bebopping and scatting.
He attacked Zane before his music even stopped. It was nice.
Oh,
it was good.
Out of control. Yeah. Moving on to rip to shit Billy Jack Haynes doing his big old strong guy back-breaking style type stuff against a gentleman named Gerald Finley. That's all working up to the full Nelson like he usually does in these Billy Jack matches, and that's what happens. Billy Jack locks him in that full Nelson that you can't get out of. Finley does not get out of it.
Mm-mm.
Match over. Moving on to the youngest of the Russians, Crusher Khrushchev.
Mm-hmm.
He's fighting this job guy, Larry Clark. We're seeing the same job guys every week on the show, which is...
Clark had great gear, though.
Yeah, they're strong guys, but, you know, you get those WWF shows, and, you know, they're traveling around.
Oh,
they're
flying in jobbers
every
from
week,
France,
every
bro.
Week you're getting, like, new local guys. You're getting guys flown in from France. This shit's all just taped in Atlanta, like, over and over again. So you're just getting these same, like, five or six job guys. I'm wondering if we're going to get sick of these guys.
Like, it's like two
What's
to three
longevity on these losers
two to three scrawny pale white dudes,
mm-hmm.
a couple of fat older white dudes, and then like
I mostly enjoy
three super athletic black dudes.
Yeah, a couple
that's
of
their
them.
Entire job.
Couple of them
roster.
Really bad, couple of them really good. Khrushchev wins with the sickle, of course.
Yep.
Moving on to Ron Bass, the big cowboy, versus Paul Garner. He gives that boy a whooping, Paul Garner, and he beats him with the Iron Claw.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of big-time whoopings, we got the Ballbarian, Paul
Ballbarian.
Jones, big, tough, savage, face-painted monster, otherwise known as the Barbarian, if you're not Paul Jones and you speak goddamn English. He's up against George South, one of the greatest job guys of all time.
Yeah, he was a stud.
Great little match, couple of studs. Barbarian wins it with that big diving headbutt he's been using.
Ba-boom.
And we move on to a big six-man tag.
Ooh.
Much more rare for these shows, you know, a little bit more competitive. You got name guys on both sides. They got a little time for it. We're talking Nature Boy Ric Flair and his cousins, Arn and Ole Anderson, the Minnesota Wrecking Crew. They're up in there against a trilogy of just sort
awful.
Of mid-card guys, you know, not job guys, but they're certainly not going to beat the horsemen here. We got Terry Taylor,
mm-hmm.
Pistol Pez Watley, mm-hmm. and Stone Hands Ronnie Garvin. How you say they're not going to beat the horsemen, and then a couple years from now, Ronnie Garvin does in one of the biggest travesties you're ever going to see. Not here,
Ooh.
Though, because Arn pins Watley with a little help from Flair. Flair's on the outside holding on to Watley's legs so he can't do that kick-out motion. A little bit of cheating there, a little bit of cheating.
You ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
These guys don't have to cheat up next. The Road Warriors against the aforementioned Mac and Jim Jeffers. Road Warriors do their usual bit where they jump the guys before the bell and then just don't stop beating the shit out of them until the pin happens.
Yeah.
The match lasted a couple minutes, but really after about 30 seconds of it, you're kind of just like, oh, God, guys, they're already dead.
You're going to hurt them.
Just pin them. Yeah, after just mugging the shit out of these guys, animal pins, yeah, I don't know, maybe Jim. Could be Jim.
Oh, yeah, I have no
idea. After a big clothesline. Speaking of forgetting names, next match, Tully Blanchard against our gentleman friend with the pale skin and the ginger hair.
And the powder
blue tights.
Powder blue tights.
And the thing was, I didn't remember his name from last week. And they didn't bother to say it or put it up on the screen time this week.
They were too busy wishing Mr. and Mrs. Root a happy 53rd
wedding
anniversary.
This is back into what we've learned is a usual spot on this show where instead of they take one of these late matches, instead of talking about them, they just read viewer mail and talk about all the wedding anniversaries the fans have.
And I want to say, shamefully, it's the second time it's happened to poor Tully Blanchard.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's kind of a shame, but thankfully they're not doing anything important that he's doing because these matches are just him kneeing the fuck out of people's heads for a few minutes and then finishing them off with that slingshot suplex. That big old slingshot suplex. Better than a normal suplex because you get slingshot.
Yeah, it's a slingshot.
It hurts more. Speaking of guys who have just had nothing job matches the last 20 seconds on this show so far, Magnum TA has another one, which is Joe Malcolm. It's literally
two moves.
Irish whip drop kick, Irish whip belly to belly.
That's
pin.
It.
Pin. He's done. These guys are just falling right and left to Magnum TA's drop kick into belly belly combination. Big final match back to the Russians. The elder statesman of the Russian stable, Ivan Koloff, Nikita Koloff, versus a couple of gentlemen named Rocky King, who looked like he had a little bit of pep in his step, and Adrian Bivens, who's one of the sloppiest, greenest, most pathetic-looking jobbers I've ever seen.
Yeah, he...
Timing terrible, constantly in the wrong position, just stumbling over everybody.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to get hurt with this guy in the ring. Nikita wins it with a sickle.
So Nikita wrestled twice on this show?
No. Crusher wrestled once, and then Ivan and Nikita wrestled.
Crusher wrestled
that second tag match. They got a big feud going with the Andersons.
It's all a
one of the many tag
blur.
Titles they've got in this company right now is on the line. I forget which ones. There's six or seven
There's
of them.
So many titles.
Got to start getting rid of some of these titles,
Everybody's
guys.
Everybody's got a title.
Can't just absorb all these different territories together and keep all the titles. That's not how it works.
Man.
Lots of highlights to go through in this show. Lots of
Totes
them. We're going to stick to five each, though. Once we get to five, we got to break the hold.
Break that
after
hold.
This five count.
I have till five.
Let's start it off. This is your first one. First count. Boom.
Kay.
What do you got?
All right. Right before this this spot, I got to give a little credit to Jim Cornette and his...
His
little promo he did.
That spoiled rich boy Jim Cornette.
Yeah,
he was
talking about Boogie Woogie Man. And basically,
of course,
Jim Cornette,
big feud where his Midnight Express is going to have a big match against the Boogie Woogie Man and two women.
Yeah, and Jim Cornette.
Weirdest feud we got going on this show.
Jim Cornette made it clear he's disgusted at Valiant for picking a woman for a street fight and made it clear that he wants to sexually assault all women.
That's not true. It's not true.
No, that's what he said.
No, tit for tat. Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant is continually threatening to strip Jim Cornette of all of his clothes during this big strip fight coming up.
Yeah.
Strip him naked. You know, he's just saying turnabout's fair play. I'm going to rip all your women's clothes off. Like, you want to rip my clothes off? Those women are getting naked too.
This guy sounds like a real Magnum TA to me.
Big Mama's big old titties out. And he's insinuating that we're not going to be too impressed when we see him.
He might be wrong there. But the real thumbs up star goes to my guy Billy Jack Haynes.
Okay, Billy Jack Haynes in here.
Yeah, that's my first number one, his little match. It's I gotta say, he's starting to win me over.
Starting to win you over.
You're watching the man develop.
Got some contentious arguing to do here.
Well, they're forcing him down your throat. They're forcing him down your throat. And every week I'm like, you know what? Maybe he's not too bad. Maybe he is getting okay at wrestling.
Okay.
He's got size. He's got a good look. The people like him. They want to cheer him.
That's true.
You know.
I feel like you're presenting a guy as a name guy back then. It was much easier to get them on board. They try to, like, pull a guy out and tell you he's a babyface these days. Man,
the
fans sit on their hands.
Oh, yeah.
Sit on their hands.
Yeah, but I don't know. I thought he did some okay work, and like I said, I thought he looks a little less green. Of course, Crockett had to talk about his arms, because that's all Crockett knows how to do.
Yeah.
Talk about arms.
So, I kind of got my number one and number two a little bit wrapped up into this match as well.
Okay.
My number one is just something I really liked, something that stood out to me. It's just they had the crowd mic turned way up during this Billy Jack match, and there was a lot
of
shit you could hear.
Yeah.
A lot of crowd yelling. At one point, whoever's working the ring bell mistakenly, after a kick out, hits that ring bell. It's like, match is over. Yeah. And like, yeah, the ref's like waving it off. Like, no, man, I didn't get to three.
That's a kick out, bro.
Yeah, some woman in the crowd, though, just very, no! Like, it wasn't just like, oh, no, like, match isn't over. Like, she was, like, admonishing this ring guy, like, you did it wrong, man.
You got one job. Ring the bell.
Also, there was another little kid, speaking of Billy Jack being over with the crowd, just the entire match just kept shrieking, Phil Nelson!
Yeah.
Phil Nelson!
Oh, the kids were hot for the full Nelson back then.
Yeah, like, you couldn't even hear the commentary, like.
That was like,
whew. Like, just anything, just like, just any of these like big, clubbering hits that Billy Jack's putting on this poor guy is all just drowned out by this shrieking kid. I like that. I like when you can hear the crowd, John. Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine? I mean, it, being a little kid back then.
Yeah.
Just racing to school the next day to throw some schmuck in your grade into the full Nelson.
Sure.
Be like, Billy Jack does this. It'd be cool.
Who's Billy Jack's son?
Billy Jack Haynes. He's the new guy. Familiar. You're gonna love him.
Oh, we gotta get you in some after school programs.
Dave Crockett loves his arms.
So yeah, into that, like sort of in my number two a little bit, like just to, like string these things together. I was gonna do a little shit talking on Billy Jack Haynes. He's starting to lose me. This guy seems to nuts and bolts be a fine wrestler in there. Everything he's doing makes sense. Everything looks real. He's sticking to the back. He's working the back. Mm-hmm. Lots of slams, lots of suplexes, working on those shoulders, and all leads up to that full Nelson. Just smart, sensible, realistic, but goddamn, the man has no charisma whatsoever. He's just got no fire to him. Just robotic, blank look on his face. And number two, kind of is this Crusher Khrushchev match that happened after it. Just by comparison, yeah. Like, Khrushchev, at this point, greener than Billy Jack, not as good of just a nuts and bolts wrestler, but man, he's in there like, and he's just beating the shit out of this guy and making it look mean, and like he's invested in it, he's grunting, he's just stomping, kicking, stomping, wrenching on that neck, wrenching, like he's not doing any like moves, it's just a lot of stomping,
nice,
a lot
old fashioned
pulling
mugging
on bodies, but yeah. Picks him up and just hurls him into the corner, like just battering rams him, and he's just screaming the whole time. Yeah. He's just so much meanness in everything he does, and you just, you know, juxtapose that with Billy Jack, who's, you know, not fired up, not looking happy to be out there,
nice
just stone faced, like blank faced.
Don't forget,
no personality going into any of these moves. Executing them well.
Now, you're not following the overarching story here. The subtle complexities of a Billy Jack. They establish the week before his abilities at martial arts. He's really good at martial arts. So he's probably
he's white bread and bland.
He keeps it.
Billy Jack.
He keeps
tell
that
us how
all
much
inside.
You like your daddy.
He's like, I'm good at martial arts.
Yeah, he's one of those classic 80s, like, mentally disciplined martial artists, you're saying?
I don't show emotion. I'm like Steven Seagal.
I think you're going to do that.
I'm just a cook.
Yeah, give him, I don't know.
I'm just a cook.
Just a little karate gi to wear or something.
No, because he's not just that, though. He's also from the woods of Oregon.
That's, yeah.
If you've noticed.
Oregon Ninja, Billy Jack Haynes.
I agree with you about the Crusher.
Weightlifting.
I literally wrote in my little review of that match. Crusher looks decent.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. He doesn't quite have that just like relentless like aggression that
he gets.
He's
getting there. Like a Nikita?
Well, after he moves, jumps ship and becomes Demolition Smash, and he just has that, you know, like pounding these guys into the ground.
Never
like,
heard
every
of him.
Moment. But he's getting there. He's putting them together. He's just got to get a little better at those promos, you know, be a little bit more relentless in the ring, and then paint his face, and then suddenly he'll be a big star.
It's not his fault that they put him in there as a southern doughy hillbilly pretending to be a Russian. Of course he's going to suck on the mic.
Well, I mean, he could pretend a little bit better to be a Russian, you feel me? Like, he's the one guy out there not doing an accent. Yeah, there might have been some kind of little, hey, this guy's like an American who we've converted to being a Russian or whatever. I'm not quite sure the origins of his debut as this character.
Can we get to my number two?
Somebody bing that and email it to us.
Bing it.
Let's loop back around to your number two. Let's move deeper into this show.
Let me get some of this beer in me because I'm excited.
Well, I mean, you get me all excited for your number two, and then I got to sit around and wait for you to drink.
Yep, make them wait. That's how you do it. You build up the suspense.
Starting to know how women feel.
That's right, pal. Big time. This is, never mind like number two. This is like 2, 3, 4, and 5 for me. This is the greatest segment of the night. It's the boogie woogie man getting his hands on that microphone. And it doesn't matter. He's setting up his program, kind of, but not really. He's just going into boogeyman business. And I've written down a handful of his lines.
Okay,
the ones that really jumped out to me.
That's why I didn't bother.
Yeah,
I also really liked this promo. I was like, Matt's going to be transcribing all of this. That's his gimmick now.
So
let's hit us with some lines.
He gives us the greatest song ever written in wrestling since, you remember the classic, "Hey Paula, I want to wrestle you." Yeah.
Jimmy Hart and Jimmy Valiant's little impromptu.
Adrian Adonis.
My mistake.
That's okay. That's all right.
Adrian Adonis and Jimmy Hart's from a few weeks ago
So the Boogie Woogie Man gives us, "Rolling in my sweet baby's arms, rolling in my sweet baby's arms, rolling in my sweet baby's arms." And then immediately goes into, "The Boogie Woogie Man, he been on double honeymoon for all week long, baby. I've been to Mars, Jupiter, Pluto, and Saturn, and I only hung around the Big Dipper about 5 minutes."
He's a space traveler, this man.
So take from that what you will.
Rolling in his sweet baby's arms. I guess that's giving me images of maybe like Big Mama's riding bitch on the back of his hog. Is this guy got a hog? Is that what's going on?
Well, he's always wearing Harley stuff. Yeah, he's
that is true. He's a nice biker man. Triple H-esque Harley Davidson little hat later on.
Well, he does make mention at the end of the promo.
How's this guy affording a motorcycle is what I'm wondering, especially
here's
a Harley.
The thing. Real quick, I can't glance over it. What's he talking about? Oh, in reference to his double honeymoon.
That's two honeymoons.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. This wasn't a reference. This was to, who's he talking about here? It doesn't matter. Eventually, at some point, he says somebody, I think maybe Cornette, was going to be busier than a one-armed man at a peep show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is, you know.
That's a good little line.
Yeah, that's very descript. But in terms of motorcycles, he goes on to give you a little history of the boogeyman.
Sure.
The Boogie Woogie Man.
Get into that mythology.
Yeah. And he says, "You see, the boogeyman is Street People."
Mm-hmm. We know that. That's been well established. He's the inaugural member of Street People Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
We put in the gentleman who stars as the Black Midget in Gummo.
Yep. So, rightfully so.
Ever expanding. Updated on that whenever we induct somebody new into that Street People Hall of Fame.
And he goes on to state that he survived the streets, Jack. Ever since the age of 8, he was in
to be on the streets.
Yeah, he was in a gang or a club.
Should have been like in a bed, probably, like getting stories read to him by his mom or something.
Nope, he was in a gang or a club.
I think it was
so like a motorcycle club. Well, absolutely, just as big as it is now. So he had,
that's impressive.
He probably stole a lot of those motorcycles, Nate.
Oh yeah, I guess street people do get that 5-figure discount whenever they can.
But either
probably
way,
killed a lot of drifters, like taking their motorcycles.
Well, there was some code of honor. I mean, you don't just kill to kill. Like back then, you'd be like, "Hey, listen here, Jack. I'm going to take your bike. It's mine now."
Okay.
And he's going to be like, "No way, Daddy. Like, I caught you looking at my old lady."
Sure.
And then knives come out.
Uh-huh.
You start fighting.
You got to do that thing where you like tie your wrists together and then like you each have like a knife in the other hand.
Well, it depends.
It's more of a free-for-all.
If it's just the two of you, then yeah, it's just knives come out and it's a free-for-all. But if there's people around, somebody's going to have the right mind to step in and be like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa.
That's smart.
Let's set this up the right way." So there you go. Boogie Woogie Man.
These greatest of all motorcycle time. Drifters ever just like trade motorcycles like baseball cards. Hey, man, I got these two Hondas over here. Like, I'll trade them for that Harley right there.
I was thinking more along the lines of, like, "You give me one night with your old lady, I'll let you get my cruiser."
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of old lady swapping going on.
Oh, like currency, pal.
Big Mama probably got Boogie Woogie Man, that motorcycle he's riding around right now.
Oh, he either got her in a trade or as a winning some kind of contest.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever happened wasn't on the level, you know?
They should be spending more of these shows just on location, out showing us what it's like being street people, I feel like.
Absolutely.
You dropped the ball there.
Opportunity missed.
Let's move back into year number three. Get it back as a tit-for-tat thing here.
You want my tree?
Yeah, I did two in a row. Let's get you to do two in a row, and then we'll go back.
Well, I jump all the way ahead to the Flair and the Andersons.
Okay, that's my number three, too. I was kind of thinking maybe you'd go back a little bit earlier. I was going to give you a chance to do that, but then there's no reason to.
There's none.
We got, there was kind of. I liked Outlaw Ron Bass. I guess he's just a cowboy here. His promo. Yeah. I liked his match. He's a big boy. He can move real good.
Oh, Ronnie Bass?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He talks. I want to make note that
he talks like a good hillbilly.
He has the ultimate dad bod.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And the people love him.
I love in that promo how much he kept putting over that cowbell, that rinkety little cowbell being 10 pounds.
Oh, it's 10 pounds, pal.
10 pounds of muscle, or muscle, metal. Like, he's good. Looks like a bull in a china shop in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just, unfortunately, he's got that, like, kind of generic look. He's got that dad bod, and he's got the same, like, haircut of every 1980s sitcom dad you'd ever seen. But let's gloss over that and move into this six-man tag. The Andersons and Flair.
You got it.
Against Terry Taylor, Pez Watley, and Ronnie Garvin. What'd you like about this thing?
There's a nice little Flair interview a little bit before that, mm-hmm. Setting all this up, where Flair demands, he's talking to just Schiavone, and he demands that Dave Crockett get over there because he deserves two commentators.
That's very true.
And then he goes on to say that his championship belt costs more than Dave Crockett's car.
10 pounds of gold.
And he just does the classic yelling at fat men watching at home that hate his guts.
Absolutely. They're jealous of him. That's why he gets booed, even though he's the best.
Because he could do a better job banging their old lady, you know? These
fat, pot-bellied men understand that he represents what a real man, which they will never be, is.
But to the actual match itself, that was the most fun, like, actual wrestling that they ever presented on this program.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So far, and everything that we've been watching,
it's been painful, folks.
Damn fine match. Pay-per-view quality here, almost.
Yeah, damn near. I mean, you got everything you want. There's a lot of good back and forth. Everything makes sense. Nothing was too rushed, I felt. You start off just Pez getting in some really good offense.
I gotta say, out of all these baby faces on this show we've seen, minus something like Dusty, or these big, top guys.
Sure.
Like, Pez Watley's got the most charisma. He's got like a weird infectious, jittery, like dork energy that I really like.
Wasn't sold on him in whatever the first time we saw him.
Oh,
but
yeah, I kind of liked him right off.
Yeah, I know we kind of butted heads there, but he definitely won me over on this one. Ron Garvin, I don't understand.
Ron Garvin's not good.
Yeah, he's friends with somebody and demands to be the good
all
guy.
Rushes shit like one step ahead of his opponent, just barrels through him in like an awkward way.
Yeah, he's
like, he just stiffs the shit out of everybody.
He's
not in like a good way where it's like these guys are going at each other just in like a, he's doing all his shit too stiff and too sloppy way.
I will say, though, it was a lot of fun watching him and Flair just stiff the shit out of each other, though.
That's what I'm saying. This match, very stiff all around. Like, these guys are beating the crap out of each other. But, like, when Garvin's doing these big comebacks, like, he's out of control. And you can tell he's, like, just really hurting the guys. It's not like what Flair's doing. He's, like, putting in those chops and he's putting them in hard.
He's leaning in on you a little, right? Garvin's reckless.
All Garvin has is that he's really punching these guys hard. Yeah. Like, that's the only reason the crowd's cheering for him.
And he's got that sweet 60-year-old aunt lesbian
what the fuck
mullet
is his hair?
Haircut.
That
yeah.
Bright, bright blonde, just severe, like, Tim and Eric, like, no sideburns into a mullet. Like,
it kind of looks like a mullet version of the aunt from Napoleon Dynamite's.
That makes
haircut.
Sense. If I just saw a picture of Ron Garvin and like, who is this guy? What's he do? I'd be like, truck driver who drives log trucks across the Canadian wilderness.
Yeah.
Like, what am I supposed to be cheering for here?
Just a
crowd
driver.
Yeah, like we said, real hot for his comeback. So that's mostly just because he's throwing real punches and because Flair is just selling the ever-loving shit out of them, just flopping around everybody, just like insane. Just Flair is, goddamn, he's really on fire in this.
Oh, yeah, he's killing it. It's amazing because he's doing, like, he's giving you all the classic Flair beg-offs.
Yeah. Okay, you keep going, sir.
Yeah, like, he's giving you...
Definitely doing that bag
he's
off.
He's presenting like he's fighting like a Dusty or something, somebody worth his time, and like... He's got to pull out all the cheating tricks, and then the next second, he's just whooping him and looks like he's the hottest thing going.
Yeah, when he gets that advantage, he goes from just scared to cocky.
Oh,
right?
Just,
like that.
Oh, and it's amazing. Like, it's seamless. You don't even realize sometimes that he's doing it. It's just, and then even when he's not in the ring, like, he's still commanding the ring. Like, he tags, the quick tags in this match are unbelievable. He gets out, and he's just grabbing a leg, and he's cheating, and he's just, oh, he's everything you want, man.
I wanted to throw, talking about that Ronnie Garvin and his comebacks a little sloppy before we move on from that.
Yeah.
Totally. I wanted to throw a little bit of love Terry Taylor's way. Man, that last time we saw Terry Taylor, we shit all over him, just buried him for being generic and boring. But
he had the first...
When he was getting mixed up in here with these guys, he's also throwing stiff shots and taking stiff shots. And I was impressed with the way, as opposed to Garvin, who I thought his stuff just looked sloppy and dangerous, I thought his looked... fired up and energetic and stiff, but still just, you know, like safe and controlled.
Right.
And he knew what he was doing in the goddamn ring.
He had the first hot tag of the evening, and then who else got Pez gets one a little later, but like Terry's to me was like the classic like House of Fire hot tag.
Yeah.
You know, where he comes out, clears the
fire.
Rings of the bad guys.
First time I've seen some personality out of him.
He took out both the Andersons. It was good. I like it.
Nobody's topping Flair in this match, though. One thing I just really loved, like, just the greatest little piece of smart-ass fucking wrestling, just, like, great fucking heel strategy, is when Ronnie Garvin's doing his big, you know, I'm pounding my ass, or pounding myself through Flair's ass, just, like, clubbering him with these shots, clubbering these forearms. Flair's just taking them, just like, oh, God, this guy's got Flair's number. It's like he's... just laying into him, and Flair's got nothing. Then you slowly notice, like, Flair's backing up a little bit every time he takes a shot. He takes it in his face. Oh, he stumbles backwards.
Yep.
Garvin's a house of fire. He wants to keep laying into him. Gives him another one. Flair stumbles back a little bit. Ow, ow. Garvin gives him another one. Keeps going forward until Flair has lured him all the way back into his corner like a wily little crafty predator. As soon as that happens, he gives him a drop toe hold. Stops taking those shots. You realize he knew what he was doing the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Now he's got him trapped in that corner. Starts tagging in those Andersons. They're hot tagging in and out. They're all triple teaming him. All three putting the boots to him at once whenever they got these little five count breaks before they got to get out the ring. Pretty soon, like in a matter of a second, he's gone from Garvin thinking like, oh, I'm beating this guy's ass.
This
I got
match.
Him. Like, he's got nothing to, hey, man, we cornered you. We're triple teaming you.
We wore you out. Garvin.
Like, and yeah, they just wear that moron out.
If
stupid lunk cannot outthink the horseman.
If you watch this match in particular, or any kind of tag, I guess, with Flair, when he's not towards his team's corner, he's in a corner.
Yeah.
And he fights like an animal.
Yeah, he's a little
in
rat.
A corner.
Never leaving the wall. Just running along the wall.
Yeah, and just he's wild, he's erratic, and he will do whatever it takes to get back in the direction of where his team is. It's amazing to watch. It's why tag wrestling was so awesome back then.
I love tag wrestling.
He's building a story. You're just seeing
so
the desperation on this guy's face.
Strategies and stories when you've got that tag element where there's multiple guys and you're going back and forth and you got to isolate a guy so you can get a pin and not let the other guy come in.
He literally looks like a wild animal willing to like chew off his own leg if it means he can get towards his team.
And I think that he would.
I
think probably if he was trapped under a table in a bar, he'd chew off his own leg
to
his drink.
Pretty sure he did it at the Odeum in 84.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
I just thought an interesting idea would be somebody just to try to put together a whole promotion of tag team wrestling. Just make tag team wrestling your main event, like, and just be like, here's our world title. It's a tag team title.
And remember, you heard it first here. We'll sue you if you steal the idea.
Okay, yeah. Maybe
but you can cut us in on the action.
Think about that. Put together some tag team wrestling. You know, all of our tag teams would have matching outfits.
Duh.
Not enough matching outfits in tag team wrestling these days. All right, that's both our number three. You got a number four?
Number four, let's see. Totally got shit on Jim Crockett talking about bullshit. LOD versus Mac and Jim Jeffers.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
The end of that match. That big old squash match.
I liked it. I believe, was this the first time we saw LOD
since we started this podcast?
Yeah.
It's their first appearance on the program.
And what a way.
What a rush watching them wrestle.
They get a match. They get a little promo later. It was a good showing for them. Legion of Doom as a whole, I don't know how I feel about them. I'm not way into them.
I mean,
because they just wrestle like,
I understand what you're saying,
muscled up bully dickheads, which I like, but don't tell me you're really, really good guy
in
then.
A run where they're unbeatable and they're destroying. But then when you got to like put them in a more nuanced sort of program where they got to like give up a little bit and take a little bit and show
it's
a little just, vulnerability,
it's not very
like
good.
Yeah, you can only be so compelling when you're completely unstoppable.
Yeah.
But man, these guys are good at being unstoppable.
And that's what they are here. They just, like you said, they run straight in. They jump the Jeffers, you know. Animal and Hawk both, at least back in 1985, they could jump.
Oh, yeah. They could move and they let you know.
It was impressive. Just big jumps. There's a really nice spot where Hawk was dragging one of the Jeffers in from the outside and pulls him from over the rope and then just throws him head first into the ground, and it was really reckless and dangerous.
You know what the secret, I think, to the Road Warriors' success is? They've got a lot of stuff. They've got their jacked up look. They've got their face paint, you know, a nice character. But I think really that one element that put them over the top and made them so popular was their complete disregard for the well-being of their opponents.
Oh, absolute. Just couldn't care less. Could not care any less.
That's not a night off. Like, that's a tough night.
Yeah, you're getting hazard pay tonight, buddy.
You're going home sore, at the very least. Hopefully not injured.
One of my favorite moments of the match, it's towards the end. Animal just, one of the Jeffers gets in like three or four moves that Animal just completely no-sells until he just gets close enough to the guy that he can gorilla press him.
Yeah.
And it's a nice move. Like, he really eats like four shots and then just picks the guy straight up over his head.
Too. Like, you get a lot of these big power wrestlers that are like sloppy, and like a lot of that comes from the fact that they're, you know, not as actually strong as their muscles would indicate, and they have trouble getting people up and they drop them. That's not the Road Warriors problem. Like, these guys look strong and they are strong and they pop these guys up and these things, no problem. Their just sloppiness comes from when they'll toss you as hard as they fucking can afterwards, or just drop you on the concrete and not give a shit.
Yeah. So, but they come out a little later. They talk a little on the mic. Hawk is
clearly. No, I'm going to stop and correct you there. They don't talk. They scream into the mic.
They scream into the mic. Hawk is on some serious blow. And then Animal comes out.
Do you think he might be an all-timer, like, as far as the professional wrestling? Is there anyone who probably blew more cocaine up their nose than Road Warrior Hawk? This guy's always zooted.
I mean,
he famously
fell off a Raw Titantron.
Years and years of drug addiction leading all the way to the late 90s. Like,
when he died falling off that Raw Titantron.
Do you think there's anybody who put up, volume-wise, more cocaine over the course of a professional wrestling career?
That's really hard to say, because, like, if you watch all of Macho Man's promos and then know that he died years later of a massive heart attack, like,
it's true, yeah.
If anybody's, like, close to keeping pace, it's going to be Macho.
Could be, definitely.
It's going to be Macho. Yeah. What do you think, like, pure madness means, you know?
Maybe we have to, like,
what do you think Stewart was talking about? Rod Stewart was talking about when he called him madness.
Yeah. I mean, you think Rod Stewart might have been his hookup?
Oh, absolutely. Like, that was when Macho's, he calls guy, up and he's like, hey, madness, that's code for, like, you want to come over and do some blow?
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. And Hawk was probably there too. But back to their promo, Hawk's on serious cocaine, and then Animal comes in, also on cocaine, and gives one of the greatest Scott Steiner promos of all time.
Mm.
I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, I like this promo, definitely.
He was Big Papa Pump right there.
Big Papa Pump was one of the last, I feel like, you know, after his heel turn in the late 90s, one of the last just proponents of the screaming, incoherent 80s promo. Like,
which is awesome.
Into the 2000s, he was the last guy still cutting 80s promos, and I love him for that.
And I just want to bring up, LOD plants a seed. I don't know if I'm buying it, because I feel like I'm kind of the mayor right now. They talk a lot about the streets.
Oh, you think
are they trying to,
like,
tell me that they're possible street people?
These guys are out on the streets of Chicago.
Yeah.
Rough city at the time, back then.
Uh-huh.
A little grimy in the 80s. I can see them being out on the streets. I don't know if I consider them street people, though. Street I think they're the people, who like come down the street, and then like all the street people are like, oh shit, it's the road warriors. And then the street people scatter.
They don't abide by the rules.
Yeah, you got to be like hanging around to be street people and like knowing the other street people. I feel like when the road warriors show up on the street, like just real street people are like, skitter, scatter, skitter, scatter. Like,
oh, I don't like those guys.
Let's split, baby.
Yeah. Oh, whoa, we just want to do some drugs and have a good time, daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. You got that feeling, too. Okay.
I'm glad we sussed that out, though.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we're the current acting mayors of Street People USA.
We might have to do a little revitalization of Street People. I feel like it's a forgotten thing. Like, maybe put together a coffee table book or something.
Oh, yeah.
And just do a lot of research.
You know, when you're walking down the street,
teach people about being street.
And you all know the difference already. You walk down the street and somebody asks you for a dollar, and all you do is...
I wonder if Street Dad's still alive.
Street Dad? Oh.
We haven't seen him hanging around the
Laramie?
Local bars.
Oh, no, I see him walking around a lot.
You see Laramie walking still? I don't see him in Street the bars Dad, at night anymore, though.
I'd like to give a shout-out to him. He's one of the greatest. Street I'm putting him in Street People USA right now.
Street
we got
People
our third
Hall of
member.
Fame. We got our third. Laramie, the local town drunk, who we referred to as Street Dad have for many years.
He loves the actor Columbo, as he described to me. I'm not messing that up.
Follow us on our Instagram. Yeah. Follow us on our Twitter. I'll put up some pictures of Street Dad. We'll induct him officially
of
on social
dancing
media.
That us night we danced with
Street
Jimmy.
Dad. We'll get that up there. We'll do a little official on the online induction there.
He's one of the greatest of all time. We shared a magical night dancing the night away, and then he offered me his pocket dictionary. He
always spreading that knowledge. Spreading that
and
knowledge.
And that's what real Street People USA is. So Laramie, big shout out to you. You earned it, dog.
Yeah, okay. That was your number four then.
Yeah, Laramie, Street Dad.
That Tully Blanchard interview.
Oh.
He's got Tully and Baby Doll. They're out. And at some point during the interview, a 10-year-old boy just holds up a sign that says, Baby Doll Thunder Thighs.
Oh, how did I miss that?
I popped that for that big. That was my number four.
Oh.
Baby Doll, you know, sorry I've been shitting on you so much, honey, but... every week, just they're putting that camera deep into your this year very flushed rosacea face and trying to talk about how beautiful you are, how you're the perfect 10 when you got
perfect
those
10.
Dead eyes and just no life in you, and you kind of look like Sloth from the Goonies in a mom wig and clown makeup. Like,
hey, you guys.
Yeah, pretty close to that. This kid's on the same page as me. He's sick of hearing it, sick of hearing Tully and these announcers putting over how beautiful this woman is. Baby Doll Thunder Thighs.
I'll tell you right now,
tell
apparently
it like it is, kid.
Apparently those thighs were good enough for that rapist Magnum TA.
Well, you know,
he makes me sick.
He's got lust in his heart, but I feel like after this big coming up, I quit steel cage match Starcade. Tully's gonna beat some of that right out of him.
Yeah, Magnum trying to tell me that he's got more heart and that's why he's gonna win the match.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Okay. Heart and lust aren't the same thing, you creep.
Well, and also, and I think you can agree with me as foremost experts on the subject of grudge, heart will get you
Street
killed.
People grudge. We're really expanding our repertoire of things that we maybe could write coffee table books about.
I want to clarify right now, heart will get you killed in a grudge match.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't show heart.
No, you gotta...
You gotta complete disregard for another person's well-being and livelihood.
Absolutely.
And you need to hate their family
a little
bit.
You got too much heart. You're going to take too much offense.
Oh,
so it's going to happen.
Oh, look at me. I'm really trying hard, though.
It's
get out of here with that Magnum
TA. Your country. It's about
it.
Making the other poor, dumb bastard die
it.
For his country.
There it is.
That's from that movie, Patton. You guys should look it up on the IMDb.
Now you're thinking Pearl Harbor with Ben Affleck.
Well, I think of that as more Pearl Harbor with Josh Hartnett. It's... Ooh. Weird that you say with Ben Affleck. I don't think we watched that movie different ways.
Is he dead yet or just his career?
I wouldn't know.
Okay.
I wouldn't know.
Somebody get back to us. Let us
know.
Okay,
let's finish this off. Let's get to this five count and break our hold. What's your number five?
It's the big end of the show angle.
Yeah, mine too.
It's
We're
all
on the same page there.
You get Flair for his third promo of the night.
Third time.
Third promo.
Not just third promo.
Third wardrobe
third
as well.
Costume
yeah.
change. This is like going to a Cher concert. He's, watching him.
His first time
cycle through this shit.
He's got the classic Flair robe. He's got the
that
belt.
That was one of his best too.
Hair's feathered perfectly.
A lot of feathers on that one.
Second promo is right after the match.
Yeah, he's
so
sweaty
he's sweating.
In that t-shirt.
Like classic, like animal out of control. Lots of cocaine, Ric Flair that you love, and then he comes back the third time.
Slick
in
back
a
hair,
suit,
fresh out the showers.
And he's letting you know.
Dressed to the nines.
Not only is he one of the greatest athletes alive, He's also a refined business executive. His words, not mine.
Well, you know, that's why he saw so much success in this business. And that's why later on in his career, you get like a lot of these guys who just have mismanaged their money and like have not built a big life for themselves. And they end up sort of desolate. I mean, that Darren Aronofsky movie, The Wrestler, covered it, but not Ric Flair. Very famously, he's... Oh, no, wait, that's not true. Ric Flair pissed away every goddamn dollar he ever made.
And earlier in the show...
Or lost it in his various divorces, I guess.
Well, there it is. Earlier in the show, I want to point out, Dusty gets a little mic time.
Mm-hmm.
And he questions how much money Flair actually has.
Oh, that's a good angle for
him. I'm going to tell you right now, Daddy, I'm going to break your leg like you broke my leg, and you're going to go back home to live with your mama, Daddy.
I like...
You're going to live with your mama, Daddy.
I like back then, they were legitimately just threatening to break each other's body parts and break your bones. I will break your bones. These days, it's a lot of generic, like, oh, I'm going to beat you in this match. No.
First of all...
When you feel grudge towards somebody, real grudge, you imagine their bones snapping.
But Dusty's an idiot. You break Flair's bones, he's just going to go to his dad, who's one of the greatest physicians in all of Minnesota.
Yeah, his recovery is going to be half the recovery.
Half of what yours was.
And he's not going to have to wear a special cowboy boot either, I can tell you that much.
Makes me sick.
Yeah, so we got a big Flair promo. He's got the Andersons out there.
You just get a Dynamite Horseman promo right there.
Yeah, and then, Tully comes out, and this is the first time we've seen all four horsemen out there at the same time together on this show.
They're just stroking each other off, talking about how great they are.
Ole's wearing one of his, this guy is pretty much the king of homemade t-shirts, just promoting himself.
Oh, yeah, and they all look like Lisa Frank shirts.
Yeah, they...
Or... Folders,
he just did. Keepers. Earlier in the show, during that Jimmy Valiant program, there was a nice old lady in the crowd who was just wearing a very generic, very shoddy looking homemade t-shirt that said, Boogie's the best, I think is what he just said.
Clearly.
And this one, it's just Ole has clearly made it himself. It's all made in glitter glue. Everything's in glitter glue. At the top by the neck, it just says Ole, which is his name.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's
it was like a gold glitter font.
Round, like, blue ball, maybe like a half-ass globe or something, and then that just says the best.
Yeah.
So him and that lady had very similar ideas when they were putting together their homemade shirts.
I'm going to make a shirt, and it's going to say only the best on it.
Oh, that's going to let everybody know.
And I'm going to wear it. You guys wear your rings and your jewelry, but I got this shirt. I'm really excited about it, Arn.
He's really been doing a lot of brainstorming.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit too much. You know, famously, when men are doing too much cocaine, they've, you know, ideas start piling up, brain starts getting scattered, you start losing some focus. This shirt also said something on the back.
Ooh.
Like, Ole's the best, all in glitter glue. Like, I get that.
Notice the back.
But then on the back, you know, maybe the message gets a little confused when just in plain white lettering, no glitter, it just says, pro wrestling. Yeah, there you go.
That's what he was doing.
Yeah, he's promoting the sport, I guess. That's what he's claiming to be the best of.
Yeah, he's got what it takes to be a Super Bowl player.
So who comes out after this, after they're doing all their shit talking initially?
Oh.
It's Dusty and Magnum, right?
Oh.
So yeah,
two
we got...
Ham and Eggers.
A couple of our the two biggest matches coming up at Starrcade here. We got all the men out there together facing off. You got Dusty. He's going to fight Flair for the world title.
Mm-hmm.
You got Magnum and Tully going to have that I Quit Cage match.
But the Horsemen still have the numbers here.
Yeah, they got the numbers because they've also got the Andersons. So what are these guys going to do? Just like let Dusty and Magnum come out and challenge them and say like, hey, quit talking shit about us? No, they're going to surround the ring because they got the numbers game.
That's right.
Going to surround the ring, get in there, and just do a 4-on-2 beatdown of these dum-dums.
It's going to be sweet.
Unfortunately, that gets ruined by the Road Warriors, who also have that big title match against the Andersons. This is all coming together. All these feuds coming together into one big thing, which I love.
Can I give you a little director's commentary?
Okay,
a little behind the scenes right there?
Uh-huh.
You know why LOD...
I didn't know you directed this episode.
I did. You know why they came out?
I don't know.
The Road Warriors?
Did they hear Magnum had some cocaine in their pocket?
No,
that's why
no.
Animal tripped over the top rope.
Along
so
those lines.
There.
But it's not excitement. It's anger.
Mm.
They get back to their dressing room. Horsemen are already out there cutting that promo.
Absolutely, they are.
They realize Tully Blanchard dug through their bags, stole all their cocaine.
Ah, oh, son of a bitch.
Why do you think they ran out there so quick? Yeah.
Trying to jump over that top rope.
Yeah, he's
so
hurting.
Quick.
He needs a fix, dog.
He really needed to get out there. So, yeah, now it's 4-on-4, and being classic heels, they're not going to fight you when it's fair. So they slink out of the ring. They back up. They live to fight another game. Tony Schiavone gives us a little bit of that, like, classic, hey, we're out of time. Like,
yeah, I'm sorry, folks.
These guys are all face-to-face. They're all jawing at each other. But, you know, then we end in a big cliffhanger. Like, what's going to happen? Are these guys going to make it to Starrcade? I like that. You weave these guys throughout the whole show. The whole show is about these eight guys, like each of them doing something, cutting a promo, looking good, talking shit about the other guys.
Did you notice?
You bring it all together.
Yeah, all jokes aside, it's really well done.
Great structure to this episode.
It's how you end the episode.
As a standalone episode, like this one worked out real good.
Yeah, they've ended a lot of shows as just like a, not even like a loud fart, but just kind of like a
fart in the wind. Fart in the wind.
Yeah, but this one was good. This one was really good. And I just want to give a shout out to Ole Anderson as he tried to cut that promo as they were going away. Did you notice that? Shivani's like, "Whoa, we're out of time here," and Ole's like, "Well, these guys, I'm gonna tell you they're in the ring." And they're just like, "Yeah, hey, old man."
An hour later, save it. The studio audience is gone. The janitor's sweeping up. Ole's still over there yelling into the microphone, which isn't turned on anymore.
No, not at all.
So that'll wrap up our episode recap there of World Championship Wrestling. And we're going to take a little break here and hear from some of our many, many classy, just high dollar.
We're making money, folks.
Great sponsors. Great sponsors. They're putting out great products. They're improving your lives.
Fully endorse them all.
Fully endorse all these people. Then we're going to come back and we're going to talk some more wrestling in the three count.
It's a three count.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
He doesn't know it yet, but he's about to become the world's first time traveler.
This is nuts.
Back to when his mother was a teenager looking for love.
It's an absolute dream.
Whoa, this is heavy.
Back to when his father needed a little push.
I'm your density. It was a wonder I was even born.
Meet Marty McFly, the first kid ever to get into trouble before he was even born. Steven Spielberg presents a Robert Zemeckis film, Back to the Future. Make a one-man win. Rated PG. Now at select theaters. Check newspapers.
There's a vacancy at the Bates Motel.
Norman, is that you?
No, it's Spud McKenzie, and it could be you. Look for this display and enter Bud Light Psycho Sweepstakes to win a Bud Light party with Spud McKenzie at the Psycho Mansion. You can even get a mug like Spud at participating retailers. Wow!
That Spud's so cool, it's scary.
Well, ladies and germs, you've been waiting all week for it. You've been asking yourself, what the fuck are they going to talk about?
Really just
I got to know.
A big thing that a lot of people are
it's trending.
Like,
it's trending.
They're not just talking about it. There's a lot of just like bootleg
it's trending.
Three count merchandise out there I've seen, which I don't appreciate.
It. Nope.
I'm not getting a cut out of that. And this is our creation.
I got a cease and desist order going.
We're the ones who came up with an idea.
Correct.
Putting things in a list that you're going to talk about.
Like, take get a topic, something you really like, and then pick a number, a certain number of things about that topic you like. That's original.
You want to have your own little stuff? That's fine. Come up with your own ideas. Yeah. Don't, be trying to piggyback us.
You don't see Nate and I doing a carpool karaoke, you know?
No.
You don't see us doing lip sync battles. We come up with an original idea. Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, there's gotten stupider than I thought.
TV, from what I understand, and I don't know why wrestling's not doing better numbers, TV's all about battles these days.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of big cook-offs. I know that. Yep. Every time you turn on the TV, somebody's cooking something in a aggressive way, like just cooking at other people, two people cooking at each other.
Just brine a chicken for 2 days.
You should bring people together, not tear them apart.
Thank
don't you think so?
Thank you so much.
That's what pro wrestling's for.
Street people, USA, you get your hands on like a bucket of chicken.
Yeah, or
go
like
to the go down to see the Colonel.
Hooch, like,
you Bogarting that?
Nah, man, you gotta pass that shit around
the flaming garbage can.
Pass that hooch around the flaming garbage can. Everybody brings people together, man.
Ooh, can we do two inductions into Street People USA?
That's unprecedented. I don't know if two people have ever been inducted to a street.
Oh no, I'm saying two. In 1 week here.
Oh, wow.
Because you brought it up.
Okay.
And you're telling me about passing a little bottle around the barrel?
You're saying we're going to induct the Valentines?
No.
Frank Stallone's acapella group?
Yes, we are. I thought you were talking about Greg the Hammer. No.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we're talking Take You Back Do-do-do-do-do. Take you back. Lord, I want to take you back.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's Street People USA. Yeah. So by proxy, Rocky, he's in there too.
Rocky, no, I think he makes a good point to always have a home to go to at the end of the night.
That's
He's traveling the streets and he feels one with these people and he appreciates them.
Yeah, he's a man of the people. Nice little, that's fair.
He's keeping himself. Pauly someday. We might think about putting Pauly in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But the Valentines.
Right now, the Valentines, they're going in. They're the fourth.
They're the first band.
Fourth inductees going in as a group.
The first band inducted.
Going in as a group.
Into
Street People Hall of Fame USA.
Yeah. That's a big day for us.
Yeah,
shit.
It is a big day. Day for the Valentines, too. I'll tell you that much.
Just like Columbus.
Frank Stallone's going to love this.
Just like Columbus, we discovered.
All right, let's get into this three count. Enough dilly-dallying.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah.
What's your number three of this topic
we're
doing?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Little,
did we do last week?
Reverse of last week. Last week, we were talking 80s
current dudes.
Current guys who would make it if they wrestled in the 80s. Guys wrestling now who would still make it if they had started their career in the 80s. Flip-flopping at this time. 80s guys. What if these guys had to wrestle in today's wrestling? Who would sink? Who would swim? We're talking about the guys who would swim. Who do we think could get in here and make it happen? Who's your number three?
Mine might be a little weird. I try to go off the cuff here because I think there's some natural folks.
Get weird on me, baby. Get weird on me, baby.
Obvious to me, and I'm not going to judge you if you bring them up because I thought you might. But either, cracking it open, cracking it open. My first one's going to be the biggest, the angriest, the evilest of all the Russians, Nikita Koloff.
Spit take. I'm shocked.
Yeah. I think he could make it in today's culture because he's just big, mean, and scary.
Yeah, that's true.
His power moves look decent enough.
I like his power moves a lot.
His body is impressive. I don't know if you could get away doing the steroids this day and age.
That's a big problem.
That could be a problem for him.
Big problem.
But the whole package, it's there.
The problem with society these days that steroids are no longer as embraced as they once were, if you ask me.
Oh, sorry. I want to entertain you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How dare they? But either way, Nikita Koloff, I think he's got what it takes.
Those crazy promos has. You
know? Yeah.
You think he could adapt to scripted promos these days? These guys have talking points, maybe like got to use your real voice and not a crazy accent. Than
as I forgot to point out earlier in the WCW episode, I'm starting to understand Nikita Koloff when he talks now.
This might.
I don't know.
Maybe a little Florence Nightingale syndrome. Or something.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening, but
starting to love your abuser.
Either way, I think he's got it, bro.
Okay.
What's yours, number three? What you got?
This man made his debut alongside his brother.
He got a name.
1989. So you know he officially counts.
You son of a gun.
He officially counts as a 1980s wrestler. A man named Scott Steiner, we mentioned him earlier.
Oh,
Big Papa Pump, White Lightning.
Scotty.
Specifically, though, this 1980s era Scott Steiner was just a sick, just freak of an athlete. This guy, as big as he was, doing the things he could do, these big fucking Frankensteiners, like he's flying around the ring and talking about that strength of the Road Warriors, that legit strength. He had it too. This guy could just pick people up no problem, chuck them over his head.
I saw him lift 100 pounds over his head without even noticing.
Crazy
once.
Steiner screwdrivers, like doing that shit. All these suplex city bitch, all this stuff. He could fly, he could do the strength stuff, he could be the chain wrestling, and I think that's kind of stuff means a lot more these days. This in-ring stuff, this athleticism, being able to pull off these feats, these days means more than it did back then.
He kind of started it.
And it was good for him back then. Like, they were thinking about giving him, like, a run pretty early in his career as a singles guy at the top, but it never really happened. And I think definitely you bring this guy in now where what wrestling is today, he can do all this stuff when he was young. He could move like that. They would have had to just push him straight to the top because this guy's just a once-in-a-lifetime crazy athlete. And, you know, maybe he didn't have to go in there, and his brother was already a wrestler. His brother was already talking. So for like the first half of this guy's career, his brother did all the talking for him. And you learned later on when you finally let this guy start talking, it's magic.
Yeah, that's who you want to hear from.
He's an insane person.
He's fat!
He's an insane person. So I'm saying you bring Scott Steiner, you throw him in that time machine DeLorean, you fire that shit up to 88 miles per hour, and you bring him into 2017, and you debut 1989 Scott Steiner, like, oh, God, Vince's chubby is just going to be
ooh,
throbbing.
Holler if you hear me.
Everybody's got to talk these days, so they're going to be sticking a mic in his face. As soon as you hear that that's just gold, like, he's going to be off to the races.
Mm-hmm. I dig it. Plays real well into my number two.
Okay.
We're talking...
Rick Steiner?
The dog face gremlin. Who doesn't want to see him?
Just that guy barking all over 2017 television.
He wrestled a match against The Big Show where The Big Show smoked a cigarette on his way to the ring.
I remember that. That was real classic.
Anytime I think Rick Steiner, I think that. So God bless him. But no, we're talking just pure athleticism, pure power.
Yeah.
But times two.
Hmm.
I'm taking the British Bulldogs all the way to the current date.
Smart.
They, like you kind of talked about with Mr. Steiner there, they were one of the first to really gel that power meets athleticism with, you know, the speed in there. They're,
straight into the mat wrestling, too.
Yeah. And the mat wrestling. They had a little bit of everything. They're pretty much everything that Ring of Honor guys try to be these days, so it works.
Try to be, key point.
Yeah, try to be.
There's a couple of you guys doing good.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of you are wannabes.
But the Bulldogs could do it. Yeah.
You, Davey Richards.
They can't talk well. But they look good. They got matching British tights, and that's all you need to know.
Matching British tights is good.
All you need to know.
It's a little bit like you know, the difference between modern MMA, where everybody's cross-training on everything. Everybody does everything in that early just freak show MMA, where like you had like, you know, the sumo wrestler in there against like the kickboxer. That's kind of like 80s wrestling versus wrestling today. Yeah. You got to be able to do all that shit to succeed in 2017.
All of it.
Back then, you could just have a niche and just like work in that one little niche.
Bygone era.
Strong pick. Those guys would be great if they were young and strong in modern times and, you know, not in wheelchairs or dead. Barry Windham is my number two.
Wow.
Barry Windham. You got to have a certain look to get pushed to the top these days. You got to...
Sell me on this one. Know, here we go.
You got to be tall.
Okay,
you got to be a handsome white guy.
Chick.
Yeah, you got to be in shape. You got to be athletic. This guy was the total package. Sorry, Lex Luger, but...
What?
You just called yourself that. Barry Windham actually was, because he... looked great.
And wasn't 5'9".
He was tall, but he could move. He was just like a gazelle. He just had a weird style, a weird gait that like no one else had. Nobody else could really replicate. Guy could work babyface. Guy could work heel. Guy could talk. Back in like 87 or 88, there's an argument to be made that he was the best in the world. Should have been pushed to the top. Should have got those title matches, those title runs, but they were just still holding on to Dusty and Flair at that point and just held on to those guys a little bit too long, maybe. And never really passed the torch to Barry. And by the time somebody was giving him a shot, he kind of just had lost the narrative a little bit and got a little sloppy towards the early 90s. But man, that 87, 88 era Barry Windham, one of the best of all time. He put that guy into the ring today, and he's going to just be head and shoulders above everyone else. He's going to outclass everyone. Because of his height and because of the fact that he was out there wrestling, you know, fucking 400 times a year or whatever.
Get him a head and shoulders commercial.
He was young and he could
move,
but he still had that grizzled, seasoned veteran.
Ooh.
Just...
that whaley veteran.
Because they had to work so goddamn much back then that if you were working, you'd learn. That guy could show some people some things these days.
Good pick. That's strong.
Thanks.
I like it.
Yeah, we're doing real good.
I like it.
All this stuff would work.
I got a...
Why doesn't somebody let us use their time machine? I feel like we'd be doing smart stuff.
Yeah, quit hoarding shit, people.
I got my little almanac. I'm going to make some money.
All you people
not
sharing...
It's not all about money.
All you people not sharing your time machines?
Yeah.
You're never going to make it to Street People USA.
No, absolutely not.
Understand that now.
Time machines shouldn't just be for the 1%. Like,
no.
Free time machines for everybody.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, we supported that Bernie Sanders ticket.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton people, like, ooh, I know all you love her.
Yeah, she only wanted a couple of people to have time machines.
She's sneakily, like, an elitist.
Mm-hmm.
I know, come on. How many people do you think would have time machines if she was president right now?
If only she had some kind of way to have warned us of that, besides, like, her I want to talk to the manager haircut.
Yeah, maybe let us use your time machine.
Yeah.
We could go back and tell people.
All right. Moving on to the future.
Okay.
My number one.
You got your number one.
This my number one.
The guy from the 80s who you're like, I want to see him wrestling today. It'd be big shit.
Hey, 2017. I want to wrestle you.
Okay.
I'm talking about the adorable one.
So pretty.
Adrian Adonis.
He's got you hook, line, and sinker.
It don't matter. he's everything Mick Foley wanted to be. He's all that crap. He understands psychology. He can wrestle just good enough to make the good guys look good and the mm-hmm. weird look weird. And he was the right amount of weird, you know? Goldust tries doing the stuff he's doing, and it's whatever. No. This guy
is pretty weird.
Yeah, but that's too weird. Adonis knew where to draw the line, you know? He's just...
I'm not going to paint my whole face. I'm just going to paint one eye black.
Yeah, because that's it. I'm not a freak.
No.
I'm just weird. So, Adrian Adonis, you bring that... Well, you crawl out of the grave, first of all. And then you bring that brand of weirdness straight to any brand you want, pal. Because you got it. And that's I salute you.
Now, we got a little leeway here. We can do... Are we going early 80s Adrian Adonis, where the guy hadn't lost control of himself and he was still in decent shape? Or are we going late 80s Adrian Adonis, where he was just a sloppy fat mess?
Oh, I think he could... He's such a professional. He can make either one work.
Okay.
Yep.
So, yeah. Let's just bring in the sloppy fat one. Why not? He's a little bit more out of control.
Yeah, I like it.
I think it would work. That guy had a lot going for him.
See, there you go. You agree, too. It's a great pick.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great pick.
My number one.
Lay it on
one of the greatest heels of all time. Guy who could drop into any era, probably, and just be smarmy and be smug and get people to hate him. Everything The Miz is doing right now, mm-hmm. we talked about that a little bit a while back.
Yep.
That guy's just probably the standard bearer of heel shit right now. Everybody hates him. Nobody likes him. Mm-mm. To my knowledge, they've never even tried to like give him a little run where they try to make him baby or whatever. Uh-uh. Like, he's just going to go out there and be that upper mid card, just solid heel who could get any baby face
under
over
the skin.
Because the fans hate him enough. I feel like anything The Miz is doing right now would just be done twice as good. It'd have twice the results if you slot Ted DiBiase into that role instead.
Oh.
Ted DiBiase. This
nice
guy.
Pick.
Yeah, this guy could. He could talk better than The Miz, and The Miz is a pretty good talker. But
yeah,
man, he was.
No, that's saying something.
Ted DiBiase is three times the worker of The Miz. This guy's matches are outstanding. Great wrestler. He's got a real just smug, prick look about him.
And he's got power without trying.
Yeah. He
was a hard body without being a hard body.
Sneakily, saw him against a lot of giants back then. So,
you
kind of thought of him as a smaller guy, but
no,
you put him in the ring these days against these guys now. Yeah, he's got a good size. He'd look pretty big. That $1 million man gimmick really pushed him over the top and made him a legend. But you don't need the 80s gimmick. This guy, these days, you got to sort of be more of a real guy, have more of a subtle gimmick, none of that cartoon shit, but he didn't need that $1 million man gimmick. Like, years before he was doing that, he was in Mid-South, and he was just wrestling as Ted DiBiase, and he was just having legendary matches, doing great shit, just brutal, brutal, bloody, like, Southern wrestling style. Just like
R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling.
Dirty, hard-hitting, fast-moving, nice, like, gimmick he had going, or he had a loaded glove that he'd use a lot, like
loaded anything.
Bring that.
We got to bring that back.
He had a nice little stable with Jim Duggan and Doink the Clown, and he's proved himself he could be like the head of a stable back then in that Mid-South shit. Like, you bring that guy,
Matt Bourne,
forward here into the. You got to be able to work good. You got to have a more realistic character era, and it'd just be like a duck in water. Ted DiBiase would be the best thing they've got on the roster right now, and goddamn, you got to imagine he'd be their just go-to heel world champion, which he deserved that. He should have had that at some point in his career.
He should have. He should have.
But, you know, that's what happens when you come up in the era of Hogan.
Yeah.
You just got to be the fall guy.
Yep, and he had Virgil, so that's nice.
Hogan.
That's a nice
place. We're not bringing Virgil forward with him.
Oh.
We're leaving Virgil in the 80s.
Virgil will do
it,
though.
I want to make that clear right
He'll
now.
He'll come with you. He'll
I'm
do
sure
it.
I'm sure that he would.
Nominal fee.
I'm certain that he'd be
okay.
willing.
All right, okay. That's fine.
We've got nothing else in the budget for you, Virgil.
All right. Well, you know, if you don't want to, that's up to you. That's going to do it, though. We're going to wrap it up.
Boom.
It's been going a little long. I didn't notice, I just want to point out real quick, too much racist shit this week on WCW, so good for you.
Oh man, maybe we'll get through a whole episode without having to put in a racist drop.
Well, there was Manny Fernandez stuff we didn't talk about, and they did mention the sombrero, so
you know what?
Either way.
Let's leave it that way. Wrap it up feeling good about ourselves. Just
talk to us
feeling good about the world.
Talk to us a little bit about what we're doing next week, though.
Next week, we're going to be watching Primetime Wrestling. We're going back up north. That's going
to
be
sure to be racist.
Episode 63 from 5/12/86.
Oh, you talking about my third birthday, dog?
Fire that up on your WWE Network if you're following along with us and watch that. And God bless you if you are. And we'll talk about it. And maybe we'll see if we can make it 2 weeks without anything racist.
And get us on the social medias.
Get us on that social media.
Baby Oil and Blow.
All the social
Twitters, Instagrams, all of them. Find us.
Feedback at babyoilandblow.com. If you got something you want to say, something you got a beef with us, we'll squash that beef. Give us an email.
That's right, because it's Baby Oil and Blow.